This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
You knew there was a man of such resemblance?
He is my brother.
Brother?
My twin, my blood.
You were a part of this too, Mother?
He's your brother. I love you both.
And your love has meant nothing to either of us.
It has meant something to me.
Never once have I ever asked anything for myself. I ask you now. Spare the life of this man, this prisoner, your brother.
No right to ask me this. Of this one. Worst of all, my own brother who's trying to do this to me.
And what have you done to him? I thought you had become the king I always hoped you'd be.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, joined by Sharmila Ganesan here in the studio. And then over Skype, calling in from home, we have Arvind Yuvraj.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, always the very important check-in to make sure that...
Is the sound on? Can you hear me?
Is everybody where they should be? All right, so today we have something a little bit different for our Throwback Tuesday. Usually we throw back to one specific movie, but today we're doing, in some senses, a mini supercut throwback, because we're talking about movies and shows that center around the... that center around identical twins, or that use it as a conceit. And we're doing that because tomorrow we'll be reviewing HBO's miniseries I Know This Much Is True, which has Mark Ruffalo playing a set of twins.
So this idea of twins on screen, right? I feel like it's something that is really a mirror of our own societal fascination with twins or other multiple births, especially identical twins. Because if you think about it, like... there's no such thing as a movie that's about twins where they're just like really normal people going about their business. There's always this intrigue and mystery. You know, there's always the good one and the evil one. Or, oh, look, you know, one's like conservative and quiet and the other one's like outgoing and like party animal. I think that the idea of these people who look exactly like each other is just inherently fascinating to us.
I mean, even the normal ones that we see in movies, and I'm thinking about a pair of twins like the Winklevoss twins in The Social Network. Mm-hmm. Even those twins have like there's something odd about both of them. And the twins that I've known in my life,
besides like, the fact that it was Armie Hammer CGI'd onto someone's body.
As two Armie Hammers, yeah. Besides that fact, they sort of acted in a kind of an odd way, and they sort of carried themselves in an odd way. I don't know if the actual twins are like that, but all the twins that I've known in my life, in real life, are not like that. Like, they don't walk in sync, or they don't lift their hands in sync, they don't talk in sync or complete each other's sentences. But like you said, that's like Hollywood's version of twins. Not just Hollywood, I mean movie versions of twins. They take it as a sort of close to like a sci-fi concept, which is very interesting.
Well, that's the thing, right? I think that the possibilities of storytelling when you have twins is always that there is a sense of mystery, or that there is a sense of the audience knowing something that the people in the film or the show do not, because that's usually the conceit. You know that there are twins, and then everyone else doesn't, and you get to watch how that kind of shakes out. Conversely, there are also some films, which I'm not going to touch on for obvious reasons, where the twin part is actually a spoiler, where when you reveal, the big reveal is that, oh, it turns out twins, that's its own moment. So yeah, I think that it's been a fascinating thing. It's also usually been a point of pride for an actor to be able to flex their acting skills. It's usually seen that way as well. It's like, you know what? I don't need to be held down to one character. I don't need that at all. So that's the vibe.
So it's both that, right? It's both the acting skill, and it's also, and over time, it's always been a technological skill to realize these multiple performances of the same actor, because you rarely get twin actors who of that caliber who are both going to play those characters. So we always get these versions of how you make two people appear on screen at the same time. And over time, technology has changed. And of course, now CGI helps tremendously. But I really find it cool to go back and watch movies back when there wasn't CGI and all the camera tricks that they work with to make the same actor play two roles.
I like to go back to the movies in the 90s and the 80s and see if they're looking at each other, because those movies sort of fall apart when you check out the eye line. And then now when you watch them, you realize that the eyes are not connecting. Like, they're talking to someone who's vaguely behind the twin or somewhere in that area of the twin because of the technology that they use. So the actors didn't know exactly where to look. I don't know if they were using those ping pong balls that they use nowadays to keep the eye line consistent. So that's another interesting thing. When you watch, like, older movies, they're not actually looking in any specific direction. They're looking at somewhat of the area where they think their twin is at.
So let's dive into the shows and the films then that have done this, and done this either really well or really badly, because I think that there is an equal measure, almost equal, because I think we've talked about the rewards, the ways that, you know, great risk, great reward. And on the flip side of that, sometimes great risk, lack of talent. Uh-oh.
Or bad technology.
Pretty much, yeah. So who wants to start?
Arvind, I think yours is a good one to start with.
Yeah, so my pick was The Man in the Iron Mask, which I saw in 1998, and I was 11 years old. And watching it in 1998 at 11, I was like super proud of myself, because I read the book when I was a kid, and I felt like I had seen this film, like this adaptation on a work of literature, and I thought I was very smart. I watched it again a few years ago, and I realized that it's not a good movie.
Because I haven't watched it since the 90s, and I loved it.
It's Leonardo DiCaprio's follow-up to his time on Titanic. So every studio was trying to grab him to do, like, you know, their big budget projects. And the way I saw it again was I saw it a few years ago on vacation in one of those like hotel channels that you can only get in one of those hotels. And it's not good. Like, it has a stacked cast. Like, it has like Leonardo DiCaprio playing twins. It has Hugh Laurie's in it, I think. John Malkovich is in it. Chris O'Donnell is in it with a weird mustache. Jeremy Irons is in it. And they all have goofy, long hair and weird costumes. And the sets look small and the production looks limited. The acting is cheesy. Leonardo DiCaprio is just whining and whining and whining throughout the movie, especially when he finds out that they're trying to use his brother to replace him and kick him off the throne. Overall, I found out that because I saw it in 98 and it seemed like a smart movie, I thought it was a good movie. But looking back at it now, and I didn't watch the whole movie again, I just saw like bits and pieces and scenes, and I started like somewhere in the middle. It's not good. It falls apart like very, very easily. But I like that it had the concept of twins. And I also like that the production, the guys who were behind the movie, the production guys, were smart in the sense that they could figure out the twin concept easily, because one guy was literally in a mask like all the time. So it didn't take a lot of like technology. It didn't take a lot of like figuring out of like, how do we do this? And how do we put them in the same scene? There are very little scenes where they are in the same frame together. Like, most of the time, one guy's in a mask and one guy's Leonardo DiCaprio. So I guess that saved them on the budget. So smart on their part, but not a movie that holds up.
See, I was a big, and I confess this on the Titanic show, that I was in love with Leo in that phase of time. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Leonardo DiCaprio is actually a really good actor. And before Titanic, yep, he did things like What's Eating Gilbert Grape and Basketball Diaries. And so, you know, A Man in the Iron Mask, made at a different time by perhaps different people, could have been the kind of prestige project that really used his talents and probably, you know, did justice to the character of the two roles. Even through my besotted teenage eyes, I remember thinking that he wasn't a good actor in that film. It was a film that I watched because I thought he was pretty. And I love the Three Musketeers conceit. So there's Gabriel Byrne as well. He plays one of the Three Musketeers. But yeah, I think that's one of those movies that kind of took the cheat way out in terms of how do we depict twins on screen, because they're not really very distinct.
No, and unless it is done on purpose, where you really know that one twin is say in a different country, for example, or, you know, just in a completely different space all the time, so you never ever have to cheat it, then it's okay. In this case, I mean, you could argue the whole secret twin thing meant that there was a legitimate reason for them to be apart. But I also think that the reason why it falls apart is because of this idea of prestige that we're talking about, where when you see that this is clearly being done in to try and make it look very prestigious, you expect a little bit more. And I think that that's something that we're going to be touching on in the second half of the program, because one thing that we didn't say when we were talking about the generic convention of playing with twins is that, honestly, it tends to fall into either slapstick comedy or drama that inadvertently becomes slapstick comedy because of eye lines and things like that, or you end up in the really heavy prestige drama section of filmmaking. And I think we're going to get into that in the second half. But let us know, in light of the fact that we're going to be reviewing I Know This Much Is True tomorrow, we're talking today about movies with twins, movies or shows. That's what we're throwing back to. So far, we've spoken about The Man in the Iron Mask. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you enjoy twins in cinema. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and you can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9, the business station.
That's my dad. That's my mom. That's the lunch bell. I'm not so hungry anymore. So if your mom is my mom, and my dad is your dad, and we're both born on October 11, then you and I are like sisters. Sisters. Hallie, we're like twins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. Today on Throwback Tuesday, we are looking at movies and shows in the past that have used the concept of twinhood to great and not so great effect. We're doing that because tomorrow we'll be reviewing I Know This Much Is True, which stars Mark Ruffalo as a pair of twins. And you just heard there a little bit of Parent Trap. And so I just wanted to, that's not necessarily the movie that I wanted to highlight, but I think it's important to talk about because I think for people of a certain generation, and when I say a certain generation here, I mean quite a few different generations, because it is, of course, the one that we might think of, Lindsay Lohan, was a remake. It's been remade, I think, 3 times, in fact. So depending on how old you are, you have probably been introduced to Parent Trap with a different set of Mills twins. And yeah, it's just one of those very delightful but also very unsubtle movies that does the whole we're twins but split apart and, you know, we're going to find our way back together thing quite well.
And also the swap, right? Because that's like a classic trope of, I mean, my fascination with twins began with the Sweet Valley Twins books. And they're always swapping each other to get out of scrapes. And so I think that idea of two people who can, like, you know, play each other and fool the people around them is something that works so well for that genre, that age group. And that's partly why the Parent Trap concept is so imminently remakeable.
So, you know, the swap concept, this has nothing to do with movies, but I want to say that swapping spaces with your twin is a completely doable thing. And it actually happened to me once in school, because this guy sat in class and he was a twin and no one realized it for a week. And then the actual twin came back and then we saw two of them and we're like, what is going on? Like, because we had no idea he had a twin. So if you think that's a Hollywood thing,
the swapping. So twins actually do this in real life.
They actually do this in real life, and it is very, very doable. Like, if you had no idea this guy had a twin, you wouldn't figure it out.
I find that quite delightful. Just the very idea of it is quite delightful. My actual pick for the throwback is going to be on the side of the more difficult, complex watches, and that is Adaptation. And in this movie, we've talked before about Nicolas Cage. I think we could spend hours talking about Nicolas Cage, but in this particular film, he is excellent. He plays a pair of twins, and one of whom is Charlie Kaufman, who is the screenwriter of Adaptation. And the movie is, I think, one of those that would be taught in classes that are about meta films, because the movie is about the process of adapting a book to become the movie that you're currently watching, but the film is actually about the process of adaptation. And so Nicolas Cage plays Charlie Kaufman as well as his twin brother Donald Kaufman, and chaos and hijinks ensue. It's a great film, and it also does that thing of showcasing performance, right? When you are playing people who are identical but truly very, very different.
I think adaptation is one of those films that utterly takes that concept of twins, not because it's cool or it's a trope, but just completely uses it so effectively, because that idea of mirroring, the idea of similarities, the title, the adaptation of something into something, I mean, that film is just bathed in metaphors, but it uses the concept of twins. I think it's one of the best uses of the idea of twins on screen.
And with one of Nicolas Cage's best performances.
Yes, absolutely.
I've never seen adaptation, but on the scale of, like, you know, one to hyper Nicolas Cage, like Con Air Nicolas Cage, where is he?
Oh, no, no. This is prestige Nicolas Cage.
Yes, but he's still kind of bonkers.
Kind of like, Charlie Kaufman uses the Nicolas Cage-ness very well.
I'd say 8, actually. I mean, not you know, full face-off, you know, kind of... What's his name?
Yeah.
Not Pollux. Caster
Troy. Yeah.
So he's not, if we're thinking 10 is, actually, if we're thinking 10 is like Wicker Man, then this is somewhere in the 7.5 realm, I would think. So yes, but also it's got that Charlie Kaufman-ness infusing the whole thing. So it's loopy to begin with. You're not going anywhere particularly sane with this film. It's fantastic.
It's a great film. I mean, if you love Charlie Kaufman, or if you love just kind of mind-bending movies, it's a great one.
So with that said then, Sharmila, what did you want to highlight with your Sweet Valley High?
So I thought back to my favorite outings with twins on screen. And really, Indian cinema, particularly Tamil cinema, has taken these such heights. It's such a favorite trope in Tamil cinema. However, I think that the two movies that come to mind, and they're often sort of mentioned as companion films, are two early films, not so early, they were in the early 90s, by Kamal Haasan, who's one of the biggest names in South Indian cinema. One is called Aburva Sahodarargal, which means the unusual siblings, or the amazing siblings, something along those lines. And the other one is called Michael Madana Kamaraja, which is the name of four different people. In the first one, he plays twins, one who is an average person, and his twin is a person of who's born of short stature, you know, and that's because of a birth defect. But otherwise, they look similar. So back in the 90s, with no CGI and whatsoever, he basically played the second character on his knees, and there's all this, like, these interviews where they had to play with false floors and camera angles and things like that. And when you watch it now, some of it is janky, right? Because he is a regular sized person playing, but then they use a body double who is a person who's short. So in some shots, he's got these weirdly long arms. In some shots, from distance, he's the right size.
So not to interrupt, but is this twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, but with one person?
So what's interesting is that that's the concept. However, the story itself is like a really solid, heartfelt story of family trauma and revenge. And so what happens is that the shorter twin ends up taking revenge on the people who murdered their parents. But the regular height twin gets arrested, or rather people think he's the murderer. And so it's every twin trope that you can think of, the, you know, one committing evil acts and one being, but then also all this drama, but there's also comedy in the way of Indian cinema. It's such a good film. I recently rewatched it, and it's still so eminently watchable, and Kamal Haasan is such a great actor. And just as a companion to that, Michael Madana Kamarajan, he plays four different characters. He plays quadruplets who were separated at birth and raised in four very different families. And the rest of the movie is basically how the four of them eventually find their way back to each other and sort of resolve the reason why the family was split apart in the first place, which involves like a money grab and family politics and all sorts of things. Again, you know, a film made at a time when technology wasn't available. And so it's just such a masterclass in how well Kamal Haasan can act, but also just how different these tropes can seem in cinemas that are not Hollywood films, because this is a very, very Indian film. There's songs, there's a song which literally has like all four of them making appearances at different parts. And so they had to like film this. And yeah, it's both funny and such an amazing watch.
You know, since you said that, I literally just thought of something, because you mentioned both those movies, and both those movies are like prestige projects, and they took a lot of production work and a lot of effort. And, you know, till today, they hold up, and some people, they still can't figure out how they did some of those scenes and how they made them both appear side by side. But I'm thinking about the opposite of that, which is Eddie Murphy in the 90s and the things he did. I think he's definitely played twins, like he's played his whole family. So he surely played twins at some point. And I'm thinking that's the opposite of how you do the twins or the double action, quote unquote, trope, because you literally play everyone with such cheesiness and sloppiness and without any kind of tact.
You just put them just separately and pretend they're at the same table.
Yes, and put suits on them. Yeah. And you know, the whole trope sort of like disintegrates the moment you look at like an Eddie Murphy film. Not a good Eddie Murphy film, but like a bad one from like the late 90s.
That concept extends to a lot of different things. When Eddie Murphy made bad movies, he made really bad movies. So on that note, today we've been doing a slightly different Throwback Tuesday, where we've been throwing back to movies and shows that look at the concept of twins. And in line with that, we've had The Man in the Iron Mask. We have had
Parent Trap,
adaptation. And then
Aburve Sahodarargal and Michael Madhana Kamaraja.
So there you go. And if you would like to weigh in on what your favorite movie has been that looks at this idea of twinniness, right? That has either CG or one actor playing two roles or twins themselves. We didn't even touch on the Olsens. Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you would like to know what's coming your way for the rest of the week or just keep in touch, you can find us at BFM Popcorn. That's on both Twitter and Instagram. And finally, if you have something longer to say, that email address is movies@bfm.my. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.